Morning, everybody. Let's start with prayer. Dear Lord God, we're here this Sunday morning, Lord, and we've gathered before you because we want to hear from you. Lord, we ask right now that you would send your Holy Spirit and touch each one of us. Lord, draw us closer to you. Use your word to guide us and direct us. Lord, let the message I'm about to bring forth, let it touch everyone's heart, Lord, and allow them to gather something from it that they can use. Lord, we just praise you and worship you and thank you for giving us this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, at least it's not raining this time like last time I was up here. When I almost got stuck on flat ground, I knew we were in trouble last time I was here. I want to talk about Jesus today. I mean, we always talk about him, but I really want to talk about him today. Now, why do you suppose when Jesus was here, people followed him? What do you suppose their reasoning was for following him? And I want to read a little verse out of Isaiah and just kind of explain a little bit as to who Jesus was. And it says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. And Jesse was David's father. And if you look at the lineage of Jesus, you know, he's from the house of David. You know, if you look at his father and you just keep going back in the lineage, you know, he's from the house of David. And then Jesse was David's father. And it says, you know, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. And what they're talking about there is the Assyrians and Babylonians pretty much destroyed Judah between exile and wars and stuff. So it's kind of like he came out of the leftovers, out of what was left over. And then it goes on and it talks about him in Isaiah 53:2. He says, he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Now, when you look at pictures, when artists depict Jesus in pictures, just a second here. They always make Jesus out to be this really good-looking guy. I mean, what I guess would be a good-looking guy, make him all holy-looking and, you know, stuff, and he's all reverent and stuff. But then when you read here in Isaiah, you know, it says, you know, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. I mean, he's just the average guy. Heck, I don't even know if he was a tall man. You know, he could have been a shorter guy. And it says he had no beauty or majesty to attract. There's nothing special about him as far as his appearance. That's kind of amazing. That's what Isaiah prophesied about him years before he was born. Now let's go on and see if this fits in with what really happened. It says, so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David. And Joseph was Jesus' actual father, which I guess you could say was his father through adoption. He went there to register with Mary, who was Jesus' mom, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And the reason she was expecting a child, because God made her pregnant. It's basically that's layman's terms. It's the easy way to say it. God made her pregnant. Well, Joseph was going to marry her anyway. But they had to go to Bethlehem because they were doing a census. And it goes on. It says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I would say that is what you would call humble beginnings. And he was born in a barn. And, you know, you always see those cool manger scenes at Christmas, you know, all the neat animals and all this stuff. Really looks cool, doesn't it? Well, in all reality, he was born with the cows and the pigs. Now, I don't know if you're a farmer or if you've been around livestock, but I don't think I've ever smelled anything worse than a pig. Cows would be probably right behind it. And he was born right there with them. So I would say that's about a humble beginning if you can get one. You know, and then it goes on and talks about him some more. It says, you know, he grew up and stuff. And then it goes on, it says, when Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. Wasn't this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? They're like, no, he's a carpenter, man. Where is he getting all this from? And it goes on, if I can find where I just stopped. Isn't this Mary's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, because he had brothers? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense to him. So at first, when he started preaching, you know, and he was preaching in his hometown that at this point, and they were amazed. They're like, wow, listen to him. I mean, this guy says in another scripture, you know, that he spoke with authority. You know, and people are just amazed at it. But then they took offense to it. They didn't really like it. He's like, well, who is he? Who does he think? Why can he do this? But they were listening to him. You know, and that kind of makes you wonder, why were all these people listening to this one guy? You know, you go through the Bible and you read, like, the one time where he fed 5,000 people plus women and children was just a handful of fish and bread. Can you imagine 5,000 people coming to listen to one guy? So you add the women and children, so it's probably 10,000 people. I don't even know how you could get that many people in one location and one guy can talk and they can all hear it. I mean, it's just totally amazing when you think about that. But they all came to hear him. Another time there was 4,000 people plus women and children. All these people, and they didn't have a PA. I mean, heck, how many of us are here this morning? And we got a PA system to make sure everybody hears it. You know, they didn't have that in them days, but they still all wanted to get there just in case they could hear something that he had to say. And it's just totally amazing. Why were all those people there? Well, I want to read a verse out of John, which might, in my opinion, might shed a little bit of light onto this. And it says, no one can come to me. This Jesus is talking here. It says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will be taught by God. In other words, God's our teacher. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Well, that's pretty cool if you think about that. So in other words, in order for us to come to know Jesus, God has to draw us. Now, do you suppose, now I don't know this for sure, I'm just kind of speculating here, but do you suppose God drew all these people, or at least a lot of them, to come listen to Jesus? You suppose he put on their heart, you know, you ought to listen to this guy. He's got something really good to say, and it's going to help you. It's going to help you now, and it's going to help you in eternity. You ought to go listen to this man. Well, I really think that's what happened. I mean, I'm sure there were some people, like you always get, that were just there to see what they could get out of it. You know, when something new, something cool's going on, you're always going to have those that show up and just want to see, what can I get out of this? Which, you never know. They might have went there with that in mind. Next thing you know, they got something out of it they didn't expect. But the reason I know that there are still times that people just go there to see what they can get out of it, because there's another time where Jesus put everybody in their place, and he's made a, I can't remember how the exact comment goes, but when he laid the truth down, a lot of them quit following him. It was like, now we don't want to follow him no more. But the ones that God drew, that's the ones that wanted to be there. So why do you suppose when God draws us, or drew them in those days, why do you suppose they went there? And I think it's because all of us are looking for something. None of us are happy with where we're at. I don't care if we're rich, if we're poor. It doesn't matter where we're at in life. We're all looking for something. Some people do it through their job. Some people do it by riding motocross. We're all looking for something to fulfill us, so we're out here doing that. Well, when God draws us, there is one way to fill that void. So basically, my question to everybody here this morning is God drawing you? Is God knocking on your heart today? Going, hey, listen to what Jesus has to say? Because if he is, and you answer that call, you would be amazed how your life will change. Now, I'm not going to stand here and say your life's going to be great. because things still go wrong. And I'd say we kind of got proof here this morning. My son's got a broken back and's got to wear a brace for 3 months. I got a broken leg. Yeah, things can still go wrong even when you got Jesus. But still, when I go to bed tonight, I can go to sleep knowing that everything's okay. And it will be okay. That's the peace that I got by following Jesus that I can't get anywhere else. So if we're all sitting here and we're all going, okay, if God calls me, I'll go. Really look at your heart this morning and go, hey, is God calling me? You know, it says here in 2 Peter, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He doesn't want one single person to not get a chance to hear this message. And if people don't hear the message or have never heard that message, everybody at some point will get a chance to hear that message before they die. And the thing is, with people, we never know when it's going to be over. We never know when God says your time is up. Now, the reality of that never strikes you any harder than like when I watched Casey laying in that hospital bed and they said he's got a broken back. Now, we're very fortunate. No spinal cord damage, no nothing. He's going to recover 100% as long as he listens to the doctors. I got to kind of stay on him for that. But he's going to recover, but it could have went the other way. We'd never know. So let's hang on. Let's remember that. But if God is calling you today, if he's saying, hey, it's time for you to make a change in your life, I think you ought to know what you need to do. So I want to tell you about that part too. And it's my favorite scripture. I used to read this almost every message that I used to give. I haven't done it much this year, but Romans 10:9 is where it starts. It says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is what it is in a nutshell. That's all you got to do. It says, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And then verse 11, here's the punchline, the one that I really like. It says, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. In other words, it's a guarantee that you can put your trust in Jesus and you will be saved. And it's not just for when you get old and die, or I mean all of us hope to get 80 or 90 years old before we go home, but you know, it's for here too, because he can help you through struggles. You know, he can help you through injuries. He can help you through everything. So call on the name of Jesus and you will be saved. Now, the one little thing that I always want to add to this, now you can turn on television, you can turn on the radio, and there's all these preachers talk all this fancy stuff, and you know, people say, you know, it's about a 5-second prayer and you're saved. That is true. It only takes one prayer to be saved. There's only the only difference between a person that doesn't know Jesus and the person that knows Jesus is one prayer. But it doesn't end there. You got to say it from your heart. That prayer has to be from your heart, and when you do that, then a change will take place in you. I know when I was first saved, I mean, I used to be a kind of a vulgar talking person. I mean, I was a construction worker, and I had everything that goes along with being a construction guy, including the language and the drinking, which I'm not an anti-drinker. I'm just, you ought to keep it in proportion. And everything limited is okay, but in excess is not. And I was one of those in excess and stuff. And the really cool part is if you truly make the decision for Jesus, things in your life start changing, and you don't really know for sure why, but he will start making changes in you, and he will start pointing you in the direction that he wants you to go. And that's where you have to listen, because that's what makes being saved a reality. So don't just think you can say a 3-second or 5-second prayer and then you go home and live happily ever after. You got to apply it. And that's what people like me are here for. That's for a lot of preachers are here for. There's, you know, I've got friends like Jason. He's hanging out somewhere here. We're more than happy to share with people, teach them more about the Bible to where they can truly follow Jesus after they make the decision. So if you hear God knocking, please answer. With that, I'd like to close. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much for the fact that you sent Jesus for us. You know, as Isaiah said, you know, there was nothing in his appearance that should have drawn people to him. I think it was you that drew people to him. The same way you're probably drawing people this morning. I know there's people in the crowd that you're drawing. Lord God, if there is, I ask that you'd give them the strength to stand up and accept your Son as their Lord and Savior. Answer that knock, because their life will never be the same. So, Lord God, we thank you so much for your word this morning. We thank you for watching over us and protecting us. Lord, just as we get ready to go racing, let us be safe today. Lord, I really ask that you would protect everyone here, Lord. We don't need any more injuries. We've had enough this year. So, Father, protect everyone. Just help them coming to and from the track, going home, here, everywhere, Lord God. We just thank you so much for all that. And I just once again want to just I got to say it one more time, Lord. If you're calling them this morning, I just ask that you'd give them the strength to also say yes. Just touch their heart. We thank you so much for everybody. Thank you for Steve for allowing us to do this. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.